Good morning. It's good to be with you again, beloved. It's always a joy to be with God's people here. It's good to join you also at Reedsville Standard Time. And I hope we can get back to Eastern Time. I had to say that. I'm gonna jog your memory somehow because I want to pick up from a message I gave 2 years ago. How's that? Usually I follow up the next time, but it took me 2 years to follow up on this message. It's in Genesis chapter 26. And if you recall, I have it listed here 2 years ago. We spoke on the life of Isaac. Isaac the son, how he went down to Gerar when the Lord said to him, sojourn, and he dwelt there. And he had all sorts of problems with the Philistines. Every time he would dig a well, they would fill it up, or they would claim it to be their own. They would seize it. Isaac the son, and he saw the hand of God as he left Gerar and he went back to the place where God wanted him to be. When he got there, the Lord manifested himself to him and he experienced the hand of God, and there he built an altar where he worshiped. And there he proclaimed the name of the Lord. There he dwelt, and there the Lord blessed him. And at the coming to the end of chapter 26, and that's where we're going to begin today. But let's just pick up the reading at verse 22 so we can make the connection. And Genesis in chapter 26 and verse 22, and he removed from there and digged another well for that they strove not, and he called the name of it Rehoboth, and he said, for now the Lord had made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. And he went up from there to Beersheba. The Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee, and will bless thee, and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. And he builded an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants digged a well. Then Abimelech went to him from Gerar and Ahuzath and one of his friends and Phicol, the chief captain of his army. And Isaac said unto them, wherefore come ye, seeing ye hate me, and have sent me away from you? And they said, we saw certainly that the Lord was with thee, and we said, let there be now an oath between us, even between thee and between us and thee, and let us make a covenant with thee, that thou wilt do us no harm, as we have not touched thee, and as we have done unto thee nothing but good, really, and have sent thee away in peace. Thou art now the blessed of the Lord. And he made them a feast, and they did eat and drink. And they rose up early in the morning and swore one to another, and Isaac sent them away, and they departed from him in peace. And it came to pass the same day that Isaac's servants came and told him Isaac's servants came and told him concerning the well which they had digged, and said unto him, we have found water. And he called it Sheba. Therefore the name of the city is Beersheba unto this day. And that's what we're going to talk about water. It was a It was a triumphant announcement because Isaac is back where the Lord wanted him to be. And the servants that dig the well came to him and they said, "We have found water." We're going to look at water this morning, beloved, as a symbol of salvation, the symbol of sanctification, and also as a symbol of satisfaction. We have found water. It kind of reminds us, beloved, at the time when the Lord Jesus was calling his disciples together in John chapter 1. And when Andrew found his brother Peter. And they went on announcing, "We have found the Messiah." What a joy it was. The long promised one has come. And they went on to invite others. And they talked to Philip. And then Philip, you know, he found Nathanael. And he said, "We have found him of whom Moses and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth. We have found him. He is here. And he is going to make a difference in our lives." When we speak of water, beloved, it's a symbol of salvation. And the Lord Jesus talked of water as a symbol of salvation. It is also the symbol of the Holy Spirit of God. We think of water, beloved, as satisfying a need. The need of salvation. But we must acknowledge, first of all, that we have that need. And so we have an invitation to drink, as it were, in Isaiah in chapter 55, that invitation, it's an invitation to drink of the water of salvation. And that's a well-known portion, but I'll just read you a couple of verses. It says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth." You see, the acknowledgement of our need. "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come to the waters. And he that hath no money, come. Because salvation is free." Salvation is the free gift of God. "Come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine." The symbol of joy. That's what happens when you come to Christ. The joy of the Lord fills our hearts. "Come buy, eat. Come buy wine and milk." Symbol of the word again. Without money and without price. And when we preach the gospel, and that's what we emphasize, that salvation is the gift of God. And you can have it without money and without price because we can't pay for it. But Jesus paid it all. He paid for our salvation and he purchased our redemption at so great a price. Why do you spend money for that which is not bread? And you labor for that which satisfieth not. Hearken diligently unto me and eat that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Water. Come to the waters. The waters of salvation. And the Lord Jesus, as he talked with Nicodemus on that memorable night, you recall, in John chapter 3. And he would emphasize the importance of the water of salvation. Or the water of the Spirit of God. Or the water of the Word of God. The water. He said to him, "Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit." Now you can interpret that, that's acceptable, that water symbolizing the Word of God and the Spirit of God, or you can accept that as water, as the Spirit of God, and being born of water, even the Spirit of God, both acceptable, because the Word of God is water is a symbol of the Word of God, rather, and it's also a symbol of the Holy Spirit. But Jesus is saying that you need to be born of water. You need that cleansing flood that flowed for sin. You need the Spirit of God to change your life, to impart that spiritual life in you. It's not about your physical life, as Nicodemus thought. No, you don't have to be born again physically. But being born of the Spirit, being born of water and the Word. And what a marvelous day it was for you and me, beloved, when we experienced His salvation, we have found. The water of life. You know, the Lord Jesus, as He spoke to the woman at Sychar's well, He spoke of water as well. And He differentiated between the physical and the spiritual. And she was somewhat confused as well, the same as Nicodemus was. And the Lord Jesus took the time to explain to her what He meant. In John chapter 4 and verse 10 it says, Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of Him, and He would have given thee living water. He would have given thee the water of life. And the woman saith to Him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From where then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well, and drank from it himself, and his sons, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. That's the physical. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The water of life. We have found water. You and I, beloved, we went to that spring. And we receive that living water. And as we used to sing in Sunday school, no, never thirst again. No, never thirst again. We have found water. Because they were in the place where God had appointed. Isaac had come to the realization that this was the place of blessing, that this was the place of God's promise. He called it the well of the oath, Beersheba, the water of life. Oh, and that dear woman at Sychar's well recognized that Jesus was speaking of the water that was not in the well. She said, Sir, give me this water. Give me this water. Why? I don't want to come here again. I don't want to be indulged in this lifestyle again. Give me this water. And if you have never had that water, today is your chance and opportunity drink from the springs of living water. That's not the only time the Lord spoke of the water of life. You remember in John chapter 7, after that great feast, verse 37, after that great feast, he says, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If any man thirst." You see, the recognition of our need. Ho, everyone that thirsteth. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his heart shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke of the Spirit, whom they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So the living water, the springing up of everlasting life is the Spirit of God in the believer. Because once we are born again, beloved, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of God, and we are filled with the Holy Spirit of God, and we have to continually be filled with the Spirit of God. As you and I come to that fountain of living water, it is manifest to others. Others can see that life flowing through us as the Spirit Himself manifests Himself in and through us. Out of His heart shall flow rivers of living water. Symbolic, this water of salvation. We have found water. Speaking of the water of life, beloved, the very last invitation of the Bible tells us of that water, and we want to read it in Revelation chapter 22. And verse 17 says, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come." Again, thirst. That's that spiritual hunger. That's that recognition of spiritual need. "And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." We have found water. The water of life. The water for which we were longing and thirsting. This is how one hymn writer puts it. He said, "I thirsted in the barren land of sin and shame. And nothing satisfying there I found, but the woman at the well." She didn't want to come back to draw. It wasn't satisfying. "But to the blessed cross of Christ, one day I came, where springs of living water did abound. And since then, drinking at the springs of living water. Happy now I am, my soul is satisfied, drinking at the springs of living water. A wonderful and a bountiful supply." But not only is water, beloved, the symbol of salvation, the symbol of the Spirit of God, water is also the symbol of sanctification. The water that sets us apart for God. The water that washes us and enables us to keep in fellowship and communion with our God. And that's exactly what the Lord Jesus was teaching when he got the disciples together in the upper room in John 13 and began to wash the disciples' feet. Let's read some of it. The water of sanctification, because the Lord said something to Peter that's very significant. And you and I, beloved, we need to take this to heart, because it is true today as it was then. For the sake of time, we read in verse 6, then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus saith to him, he that is washed, or he that is bathed, needeth not except to wash his feet, but is entirely clean. And ye are clean, but not all of you. He that is washed or bathed. We need to understand, beloved, the Lord was talking about a fellowship and communion here. And he said to Peter, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. And notice the language is not in me, but with me. Because Peter had part in Christ, as well as you and I, we have part in Christ, beloved. For if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. But Jesus says, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. And what are you saying to us, beloved? Unless we are sanctified, unless we judge our sins, unless we are washed in the water of the Word, there is no fellowship and there is no communion with the Lord. If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Again, Peter did not understand. He said, well, Lord, I need to wash all over. And there's a very important teaching here. Peter said, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus said, he that is bathed. Now, there are two different words used here for washing. And what the Lord is saying, he that is washed, or he that is bathed, he that is redeemed, he that is cleansed, he who has been saved, beloved, we don't need to be saved again. We don't need a second salvation. We don't need to be saved all over again, but you are clean. But we do get our feet contaminated in this world. And we don't need redemption all over again, beloved, but we need that sanctification on a daily basis. And when we go astray, beloved, we don't need to get saved again, but we need to return to fellowship and communion with our Lord. He that is bathed, he who has been saved, we need not except to wash our feet, to cleanse, to have our feet cleansed in the water of his word. That's the washing of sanctification. And we need to understand that. The difference between the bath and the basin. The difference between redemption and sanctification. And I think we have both in Ephesians in chapter 5. Ephesians in chapter 5 tells us, first of all, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. That's our redemption. That he might sanctify. That's the washing of the water. That he might sanctify. and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. And so, beloved, when we get our feet soiled, when we think of something evil, when we do something outside the will of God, when we get contaminated with the dust of this world, we need to come and have our feet washed. Because the Lord Jesus will forgive our sins, beloved, but he will not have fellowship with us until we have judged that sin. And that's where we are told in First Corinthians chapter 11 concerning what we did this morning. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat. Because if we fail to do that, if we fail to have our feet washed, then we are exposed. We're exposed to not judgment, but exposed to the chastening of the Lord. So we need to judge ourselves, that we be not judged. That we be not judged. And we need to examine our own hearts and our own lives. Because when we partake of the Lord's Supper, we want to do it in a worthy way. We want to discern the Lord's body and the Lord's blood. And so self-examination is important. We need to get to the water of the word, because the Lord wants to cleanse our feet. He wants the church to maintain that fellowship and communion with him. For if I wash thee not, the Lord said, thou hast no part with me. When the Lord gave Moses the law back in Exodus 19, and he told the people what the Lord said, the people says, all that the Lord will say unto us, we will do. And the Lord said to Moses, did I say Peter? The Lord said to Moses, let the people come and sanctify the people. Let them wash. Let them wash their clothes. Let them recognize that in order to come into the presence of our holy God, we must be clean, we must be sanctified. Be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. You and I, beloved, we need to be vessels unto honor, sanctified and fit for the Master's use. If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. We are engaging ourselves in an exercise of futility if there is unjudged sin. We come still singing the songs of the redeemed. We are still giving the prayers unto the Lord. And there is unjudged sin in us. There is no part with him. There is no fellowship with him. Until we confess our sins, and then he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Speaking of our Lord, he has taught us the difference time and time again between redemption and sanctification. That is our daily sanctification, not our positional sanctification, but our daily sanctification. And John the Apostle writes concerning our Lord, and I would give my personal belief on this passage, but there are a lot of good thoughts on this passage. They don't all necessarily agree. But in John chapter 5, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 6, verse 5 says, who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood. Even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. Some believe that the water speaks of his baptism in the Jordan, and the blood speaks of his sacrifice on the cross. And there are other things, but we don't have a lot of time to explain the different schools of thought here. But I think of when the Lord Jesus was on the cross. Because both thoughts are incorporated here. When the Lord Jesus was on the cross, and the soldiers went and they broke the legs of one thief on the right, the other on the left, when they came to Jesus and found that he was dead already, they took a spear and they plunged it into his side, and forthwith there came thereout blood and water. I like to think that the blood was for our original cleansing. He that is bathed needeth not except to have his feet washed. Blood and water for our subsequent cleansing or for our sanctification. One of the hymns we sing, one of the hymns of the faith, good old hymn, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed be of sin the double cure, our original cleansing and our subsequent cleansing, our redemption and our sanctification. Be the double cure. That's doesn't say that other thoughts are not valid and could be used, but I really believe that. Our original cleansing and our subsequent cleansing. Forthwith came thereout blood and water. Came by blood and by water. We have found water. We have found the water of sanctification. Water of sanctification. You know, I think of Moses as he got close to finishing the tabernacle, and God giving the instructions concerning the way into the Holy of Holies. The way into the sanctuary. And we know, first of all, that there had to be a brazen altar. There had to be an altar of sacrifice. And after they had finished officiating at the altar, at the brazen altar, they couldn't just go into the holy place. They couldn't just go into the tabernacle. God gave instructions. He said, between the brazen altar and the tabernacle, you need to build and erect a laver, the laver. And you shall put water therein. The laver, beloved, speaks of the Word of God. The sanctifying effect of the Word of God. That which Jesus spoke of when he says, Father, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy Word is truth. In Exodus chapter 30 and verse 17, and the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, thou shalt also make a laver. One thing I noticed about the laver, beloved, when it was built and the legs were built, they took the mirrors of the women, and they lined the inside of the lava. What happened? When they put the water therein and you come to the lava, you can see You can see your face. You can see how unclean you are, and you wash. A laver of bronze, and its foot also of bronze, with which to wash, and thou shalt put it between the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, and thou shalt put water therein. That's for washing. And Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet thereat. When they go into the tabernacle of the congregation, they shall wash with water, that they die not. Or when they come near to the altar to minister, to burn offering made by fire unto the Lord. So they shall wash their hands and their feet, that they die not. And it shall be a statute forever to them, even to him and to his seed throughout their generations. They shall wash before they worship. They shall be sanctified before they serve. That's the meaning of the water. The water of sanctification. The water of cleansing. If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Beloved, the way to maintain unbroken fellowship and communion with our Lord is to apply the laver, is to apply the water of sanctification. Being sanctified by his word. The washing of water by the word. As the psalmist says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. The water of sanctification. But water also speaks of satisfaction. Satisfaction. You know, beloved, when we are satisfied, we won't go to that well again. The well of the world. We always say that Jesus saves and Jesus satisfies. But we still hungering, we're still going back to that well. The well of the world, that well of temporary satisfaction, but the well that this water reminds us of, beloved, is the well of satisfaction, the well of sustenance, the well that keeps us refreshed. We have found water. You look at Israel as they came out of the Red Sea. God brought them out as by dry land, and not many days. I think it was 3 days after they went without water, and they began to complain. Just like us, we got short memories. We forgot all God's blessing when we were down in the dumps many years ago, when the Lord brought us out. And he met our needs. And so Israel, and they went outside the will of God where they were, but they were complaining. And they came to the waters, and the waters were bitter. And the Lord says, Moses, you cut that tree, and the tree fell in the water, and it went from Marah, which means bitter, to sweet water. And the Lord healed that water. The Lord says, I am the Lord that healeth thee, Jehovah Rapha. And so in verse 27, we pick it up there. And they came to Elim. They came to Elim. Elim meaning large trees. They came to Elim where there were 12 wells of water. And 70 palm trees, and they encamp there by the water. No, they have all the water they need. The Lord is going to satisfy their thirst. If only they had waited, if only they had not complained, the Lord was going to bring them to Elam anyway. And they will be able to praise the Lord. But they complain, but the Lord is merciful and the Lord is gracious, because the Lord has promised to satisfy our longing. He brought them to Elim, streams in the desert. I wonder how they felt. I wonder if they had the same reaction. Oh, we have found water. We have found the water of sustenance, the water of satisfaction. And so often we say this until we get carried away with worldly things, as Israel often did. And grieve the heart of God and grieve the hearts of his servants. One of the servants of the Lord who was continually grieved by God's people, so much so he wept often that he earned the nickname, the weeping prophet. He was Jeremiah. And he wept over the conduct of God's people, even amidst the goodness and the kindness of God. And here God is saying concerning his children in Jeremiah chapter 2. And this is sad, beloved, but it is so indicative of our conduct today when we stray from the Lord, when we reach out for the water that does not satisfy. And the Lord would say concerning his people, for my people, verse 13 of chapter 2, Jeremiah, my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water. And hewed out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. That's the pleasures of this world. That's you and I thirsting for the things of this world, the temporary things of this world, the sin that lasts for a season, as Moses describes it. Things that last for a season. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water. And we've gone after other things. Israel went after other things, other gods, wanting to be like other nations. The Lord said, you have forsaken me. I am your source of life and your source of satisfaction. And you have gone out. You've gone after other gods. And we have done it too, beloved. One hymn writer reminds us, very vivid words concerning our attitude. He says, in our return to the Lord, I have tried the broken cisterns, Lord. This is it that he's talking about here. But the waters fail. Even as I stoop to drink, they fled and mocked me as I wheel. Think of the prodigal out there. Hungry? He says, my father's got a lot of food back home. Even the servants are doing better than I. Now none but Christ can satisfy. None other name for me. There's love and life and lasting joy. Lord Jesus found him. No, the broken cisterns, they don't satisfy. And that's what Jesus said. He that drinketh of this water shall thirst again. Thirst again. But we have found water. We have found the water of life. We have found the water of sanctification. We have found, beloved, the water of satisfaction. And we can say, as that hymn writer penned, all my long life I have panted for a drink from some clear spring that I hope would quench the burning of the thirst I felt within. Well of water, ever springing, bread of life so rich and free, untold wealth that never faileth. My Redeemer is to me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I have found him whom my soul so long has craved. Jesus satisfies my longing through his blood. And now I'm saved. Satisfied. The well of satisfaction, the water of satisfaction. And as Israel wondered, and as they complained, Moses reminded them time and time again of what the Lord has in store for them, what the Lord has brought them into. He brought them out of this terrible place. And he's bringing them. He's bringing them into a good land. I got to read Deuteronomy 8. He's bringing them into a good land. This is so precious. And this is what the Lord has done for us. What he did for Israel physically. He's done for us spiritually, beloved. He has brought us into a good land. Deuteronomy 8. And that's what the servant of God, Moses, is reminding the people of Israel. He says, for the Lord, Deuteronomy 8 and 7, for the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness because of the abundance of water, the water brooks. The land shall produce. It is a good land, a land of brooks of water, a land that would satisfy because of the water of satisfaction. We're going to stop. The water of satisfaction. But I'm going to just take 2 minutes from you. You don't mind, do you? Just to say this. The psalmist speaks of the blessed man. He says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. That water that's springing up and energizing the people of God. He shall be like the trees planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth its fruit in its season. And it will not wither because it's sustained by the water of satisfaction. We think of David, and you know how he thirsted and he wandered there in 2 Samuel when the Philistines had encamped there in Bethlehem, and they set a garrison about the gate, and David longed, oh, that someone would give me some water from the wells of Bethlehem. Oh, beloved, there's nothing like getting some water from home. From the precious fountain. Oh, I want some water from the wells of Bethlehem. He couldn't get in there. His three mighty men went in and the risk of their lives, they brought him water. And he couldn't drink it, but he poured it out to the Lord as a drink offering. Oh, we rushed that, beloved, but time is up. So good to be with you. We have found water. Water of salvation. The water of sanctification. And the water of satisfaction. May we continually drink at the springs of living water. God bless his word. Father, we thank thee for bringing us together again. We thank thee for thy great salvation. We thank thee for the satisfaction that is found in Jesus Christ. And we too can testify now none but Christ can satisfy. He saves, he keeps, and he satisfies. And he quenches our longing and our thirst. We give thee thanks. We ask thy blessing upon thy people here and a blessing on this testimony. Bless the children in the Sunday school and cause that the water of life would spring through them as well. As we give thee thanks and ask thy blessing in parting, in the wonderful name of thy beloved Son, our blessed Lord and our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.